affections from their friends and relatives. The other children in the family are usually filled with curiosity, looking at the little baby. Relatives and friends generally filled with gladness. Fathers generally filled with a lot of relief. The mother, joy. But unfortunately, in some cases, the opposite is the reaction of some people. I know of one woman who, when she had her fourth child, her brother said, "Don't you know there's a population explosion? Why didn't you abort him?" And he meant it. He was very angry that she wanted to have four children. Well, bah humbug for him. When we read the New Testament, we find various responses from people that knew about the birth of Jesus, some happy, some not so happy. Now, you've seen the movies, TV shows, Christmas cards concerning Mary, Joseph, Herod, perhaps, the wise men, the shepherds, maybe even the innkeeper that refused them lodging there in Bethlehem. But according to the scriptures, that's only half of the scene. Tonight, by God's grace, I want to take you to look at the other side of Christmas. That is, Christmas as seen from the other side, the invisible side of the universe. Others were looking in and witnessed that. We're going to explore who saw what and how they reacted and why. First, there would be the Christians already in heaven. For centuries, godly believers had died, gone to heaven, waiting to see the Messiah, and only looking ahead by faith. They didn't see him in their lifetime. But now, after centuries in heaven, they're still awaiting the great and glorious day when they knew the Messiah would be born on earth. And, of course, this would include people like Abraham, Moses, David. Believers in the Old Testament had gone to heaven. And, of course, up in heaven, they were already viewing the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his divine glory in heaven, knowing that one day the one that they are viewing as God would become a man one day. And now Christ was born. Now, mind you, in coming to earth, according to John 3:13, his deity was still in heaven in one respect. There's a very deep mystery in this. In becoming man, Jesus did not cease to become God. He stayed God and became man. Now, the saints in heaven did not actually get to see the birth of Christ. Why do I say that? Well, because according to the scriptures, those in heaven aren't looking in on the scenes of what's happening here on earth. There's a curtain, as it were, between them and earth. But surely they would have known that Christ was born in Bethlehem. The divine Christ would not have hidden this from them, nor could they have been ignorant of all the angelic activity surrounding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, their King, their Savior, to the earth. So surely they would have known about it. But what was their reaction? Joy. Jesus himself said, "Abraham saw my day and rejoiced." Now, that was 2,000 years before the coming of Christ. How do you think Abraham reacted in heaven when he knew that now the time would come when that Lord Jesus that he had looked to by faith for centuries ahead of time was now going to earth? Abraham would rejoice even more. Secondly, the reaction of the Christians already in heaven would have been wonder. How could the heavenly divine Christ that they're already seeing in his glory become man? And they couldn't fully understand it, that there'd be wonder mixed in with their joy. So they rejoiced in faith and now wondered at a distance. And they looked forward to the day when that same Jesus that was born on earth would come back to heaven and they would get to see him in his glorified humanity. Well, those are the people in heaven. What about those that were in hell at the time the Lord Jesus came to earth? Well, little is said about them in this respect, so I too will only say a little bit. I seriously doubt that they were given a glimpse of what was happening here on earth. Remember that sinners on earth basically remain confused as to what's happening in spiritual realms. It's like unbelievers are walking through this world in a fog. They don't fully understand what's happening. So those sinners in hell wouldn't have understood much of the significance of what was happening back on earth had they known what was happening back on earth. They may have known that Jesus was born. I can't say for sure. But if so, what would have their response have been? Well, again, sort of confusion. They died in their sins. They were being punished for them. And now they may have known somehow indirectly the king has become a man. What does it mean? But they weren't let in on the secret. Confusion. And of course, later on, between the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, according to 1 Peter, that same Jesus would go and proclaim doom to the people that are already in hell, as it were, saying your doom is finally sealed. You died in your sins. And at judgment day, these same sinners would shudder at the sight of that baby, now grown and glorified, being their judge. Now, a similar situation would have occurred with the third group of beings in the universe, the devil and the demons. How did they respond to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, did they know that Christ was born? Well, yes. They may be evil, but they're not stupid. They would have known ahead of time that the Messiah was going to come. They knew about the prophecies. They may not have been the best Bible scholars in the world, but they knew that the Messiah was going to come and be born. But they never fully understood the prophecies. Not even when they happened. They still were kind of one step behind, like, we never thought it would happen or happen like that. They were always confused even when they saw that. Just a little late on the upswing. But unlike the holy angels, the evil angels would not be granted a sight of the holy babe of Bethlehem. Why do I say that? Do you think that in a maternity ward, the doctors are going to let in off the street the drunks and the bums and the criminals like that into the maternity ward? No, they say this is for family. And so it's my conviction that God may have let the angels look at this, but not the devil and the demons. It would be off limits to God's worst enemies. Still, they would have known that something was happening significant. They would have known this from a distance, and we see that in Scripture. Their reaction, well, is a sort of hesitant worry and a kind of impending doom, kind of like viewing the alarm clock on a bomb beginning to tick off, T-minus 33 years and counting. They knew that the one that came to be the Messiah didn't come to be their Savior, but to be the Savior of people. And so they would have been thinking, uh-oh, this man is going to save them, but he is not going to save us. In fact, he's going to seal our doom. Now, we're not told directly about the demons and the devil in the Gospels. We see angels, but we don't see much of the demons. But we do see their evil shadow cast across the stage of Bethlehem and Jerusalem. For example, it was the devil and the demons that stirred up Herod to try to have the baby Jesus killed right after his birth. He stirred him up and said, well, we don't want another Messiah. And so that alone would tell us something of their attitude. What would be the attitude of the devil and the demons to the coming of the Lord Jesus? Hatred, murder, anger. Worse than Ebenezer Scrooge. And if you know your Christmas carol, Scrooge said that he would bury alive everybody that celebrated Christmas with a stake of holly through their heart. Well, these evil specters would murder the very Son of God at his birth and show him no mercy. And then they would take to hell as many other people as they could. So the reaction of the devil and the demons would be one of absolute animosity and hatred. Well, little is said about these first three groups, but fortunately more is said about the fourth group we're looking at tonight on the other side, the holy angels, the good angels. Now, not all would actually be present at Bethlehem that night. There's a huge number of angels in the universe, and other ones probably would have been elsewhere in the universe, other planets, and on Earth, at other parts of the world. But we are told that some of them were closer to hand. Even those further out would have known tonight's the night. This is the night down on planet Earth. Those that were right there, of course, would have perhaps sent a message out to the other angels by a sort of angelic telepathy. But there were those that were present, we're told in the Bible. Gabriel, who had given the announcement to Mary, probably gave the announcement to Joseph as well. The guardian angels of Joseph and Mary and others would have been there. Now, if we don't know how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, we don't know how many angels could or did fit into that barn that night. It'd be sheer speculation for me to guess, well, there were 10,000 of them there. But some were there, and other ones were very nearby, looking on. You see, we don't see that. We know about it indirectly in Scripture. And that's why God has to pull that curtain back and say, there were angels there. But what was their reaction? The first thing that strikes me about the reaction of the angels would have been a holy curiosity. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1 that which things angels desire to look into. They want to look into the matter of salvation, how God is going to save his people. They're looking in with curiosity. And so now when Jesus himself, the Savior, was born, they would look in with curiosity. More than the curiosity of people today that want to get a look at the newborn baby and say, what does he look like? Does he look like his mother? Does he look like his father? No, these angels would have looked at something even more than that. Secondly, the holy angels would have looked in and known about this with great joy. We're told about that in Scripture. In Job 38:7, we're told that at the creation of the world, quote, the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Angels. And if they reacted with singing and shouts of joy, almost angelic dancing, at the creation of the world, surely they would have reacted with more joy at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was the greatest event in human history.
But something else. In Luke chapter 2, when the angels appeared to those shepherds, it says, many, many appeared out of nowhere. First one, and he made the announcement. And it says, suddenly there was with this angel a host of the heavenly host, rejoicing and singing unto God. As I said, it was as if God pulled back that curtain that separates us from the other side. And those shepherds got to see the angels. Well, how did the angels rejoice? With joy and with this heavenly music, rejoicing and singing unto God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill among men. Sort of a heavenly anthem of triumphant joy, chanting it over and over and over again. Glory to God in the highest. But think of how many millions, if not billions, of angels there are singing and worshiping at that moment. Hebrews 1:6 also says something else about the reaction of the angels. It says, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Now, God himself issued that holy command. He said, this is the birthday of my son. And he issues a solemn command to all the angels, those near, those far, guardian angels, seraphim, cherubim, all the different kinds, and said, worship him. And the angels replied immediately, gladly, willingly, joyfully. The text says, let all the angels of God worship him. All of them. And all of them stopped whatever they were doing on their holy missions, and they fell to their knees and worship. How many? Well, Scripture says that there are thousands upon thousands and myriads of myriads of angels. And probably at least as many angels as there are people on earth. What a huge choir. Imagine if at any one given moment, every person in the whole world stopped what they were doing and began to sing the same song. It'd create reverberations that would cause earthquakes. Imagine everybody singing the same song all of a sudden with us. What happened in the angelic realm? A huge choir, all singing in perfect pitch, total harmony, all directing their gaze and attention to that baby Jesus. And what would they be saying? Well, glory to God, peace on earth. But also, what is the regular song of all the angels in heaven? Well, we're told this several times in Scripture, in Isaiah and in the book of Revelation, that the angels has never ceased day or night before the throne crying, holy, holy, holy. So what those shepherds got to see and hear on that night was the curtain pulled back and the angels crying, holy, holy, holy to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at the passages that talk about the angels, how they worship, they worship in a very beautiful way, absolutely perfect and acceptable to God. But the way they would sing it, and we find that sometimes they would sing and then there'd be silence and then the volume would go up and the volume would go down. It'd be like the waves of the ocean rising in intensity and in volume and then going down again until absolute silence. And then rising up again, holy, 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 and then going back to quiet. And then again, glory to God in the highest. From the depths of holy silence to the heights of exultant praise, over and over and over again, like the waves of the ocean. And of course, the sheer volume of this and the magnitude of this would have frightened those shepherds. Would have frightened me too. And the angels were filled with wonder and awe and adoration as they viewed the Lord Jesus Christ, their King and their Creator, now become a human baby. Was there anyone else on the other side? Yes, I've saved the best wine for last. Anyone else on the other side? God. How did God respond to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Specifically, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Since it's the glorious prerogative of the Holy Spirit to work in the shadows and behind the scenes, it wouldn't be fitting for us to address His perspective, though it was similar to that of God the Father. The Father, the first person of the Trinity. He had always been the Father of God the Son within the Trinity. It was fitting that that relationship from all eternity would now be expressed as God the Son became the Son of God. And it was the Father, through the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, that conceived the Lord Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary 9 months previous to this holy night. And during those 9 months, the Father was not like most human fathers, worrying, sweating, wondering if the baby's going to be a boy or a girl, healthy or not. No, no. The Eternal Father knew already by divine decree and omniscience exactly who it would be, what it would be, all the details down to the fingerprints, exactly what would happen. And yet, knowing of the fatherhood and the father heart of God revealed in Holy Scripture, we can see something of His reaction to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, like the angels and the Christians already in heaven, His heart would be filled with joy. What father does not have joy at the birth of a son? Almost boasting in his glory. That's my son that's born. And so he commands the angels. That's why he commanded the angels. My son is born, and I will have joy in my universe. And so he commands the angels, and the angels willingly sing and praise. But if we can speak after the manner of men, as it were, we can see something else in the heart of God the Father. You see, Jesus was born to die. That's why he came. He came to be crucified. It had been predestined by the Father. And now the time was approaching. The manger was tinged with the shadow of the cross. And so that though there was joy in heaven, the Father also knew that the time was coming closer and closer when this, his darling son, would be crucified by evil human beings. And so there would be a deep seriousness in the Father, knowing that the one that he had sent into the world out of love and out of joy would also be crucified. And there would be a certain seriousness and sadness at that time. It reminds me of that old song, Danny Boy. You remember the song about the Scottish father that said, "Son, you have to go to war. It's you that must go and I must stay. Oh, Danny Boy, I love you so." That would have been the reaction of the father. "Oh, my son, Jesus, you have to go to earth and die, and it's I that have to stay here in heaven. Oh, Jesus, I love you so." So on that holy night when the Lord Jesus was born, we see all sorts of emotions in the heart of our eternal Heavenly Father. Love, joy, and a sadness anticipating the death of His only begotten Son. Now, what about you? Whom do you resemble most among these witnesses we've looked at tonight, accepting God? Because nobody can fully identify with God in this. Are you like the lost sinners in hell with only an indirect hint as to the true meaning of Christmas? Some are like that on Christmas. They still don't understand why people celebrate it. And so they go and get drunk and they do all sorts of immoral things. And they're lost in darkness and confusion. And for many of them, it's the saddest night of the year. Or you like the devil and the demons filled with hate and anger and thoughts of murder and a sense of doom, more resembling Ebenezer Scrooge than any of the saints in heaven. Or you like those saints in heaven, Abraham, Moses, and the others that were in heaven on that holy night, believing and rejoicing, worshiping what they did not actually see with their eyes, but they knew what was happening. So by faith they worshiped in joy. Or are we like those angels of God who with exceeding joy and awesome wonder and holy adoration fall down before the Lord Jesus and worship Him? Not just as commanded grudgingly by the Father, but willingly and lovingly obeying the Father's command to worship Him. May God grant that each one of us join with our brethren in heaven and the holy angels on the other side and worship this Jesus joyfully and lovingly. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, grant that we would be like those in heaven and the holy angels that rejoiced exceedingly in worship and adoration. And grant that this be our attitude not only tonight and tomorrow, but forever. Show us your glory that we may respond in worship and in wonder and in loving joy. In your most holy name we pray. Amen.